Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. As I said, we're going to turn our attention now to air travel and maybe spend a little bit of time talking about Brexit and how it might affect your travel to the United Kingdom. Rick Seeney, our guest, with us today. He's been keeping an eye on travel to the UK and everywhere else for that matter. He's CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com, comes by every month to talk about travel, especially air travel. You may have a question about the UK or maybe just other air travel. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Rick Seeney, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. I guess almost afternoon, Larry. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. What have been the short-term results of Britain's vote to leave the EU?
Yeah, we were monitoring it very closely. We've been monitoring that. We were monitoring Paris back in November and also more recently all the cities, including Nice in France. And in the case of Brexit, it was pretty quick. What you saw was with the pound going down by 20%, a huge influx of demand as the power of the dollar, especially for people in the U.S. For flying into there. In the short term, it's not going to have a huge flying effect. Visas don't change any. For those that live in the U.K., there's some border crossing issues that may occur once you get out of the country and whether or not you can go between other cities with your current passport. So, I think the long-term effect, we'll have to see how the actual rollout occurs from a travel perspective. But in the short term, prices dropped anywhere from 10 to 15%. I think that's just generally a seasonal drop as kids go back to school. But there was a huge influx of demand. And once you get there with a pound being so weak against a dollar, all your activities, hotels, travel, any train travel, all that stuff is really inexpensive. A lot of people are taking empty suitcases over to the UK and coming back with a bunch of goodies.
Well, I guess I could see why. We have, I guess it's probably a good idea. You would recommend if you're thinking about going to go ahead and take a look.
Yeah, no, and you're getting to what I call the magic day, which is departures on or after August the 23rd. On that date, prices tend to drop on international travel, transatlantic travel, between 12 and 18%. On some routes, I've seen a drop over 25%. And that's basically corresponding with the slower season, kids going back to school. It's also much more comfortable in Europe. I just got back from a two-week trip in Italy a couple weeks ago, and it was pretty warm over there. So, September, October actually are some of the best times to go to Europe. Oktoberfest actually in September.
Yeah. Well, Cindy in Eau Claire has a question for you. So let's go to Cindy. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, this is Cindy. How are you guys today?
Great.
Excellent, excellent.
Great. My family, we have planned, it's a destination wedding for Jamaica in October, around the first week. Is now a good time to book? I know it's international compared to...
Yeah, so, transoceanic travel, like to Asia or to Europe, typically you want to start about 5 months in advance. When you look at places like Jamaica, we've had a huge influx of requests to go to Cuba, for example, with them releasing those flights. Anything in the Caribbean is more like domestic, and you want to start shopping about three and a half months ahead of time. So I think you're right in the window for October, a perfect time to start shopping for that. Typically, you're going to be connecting somewhere in the southeast, either Puerto Rico, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, if you're going on American, likely through Charlotte. Depends on where you end up connecting near home, either Chicago, Minneapolis. I know a lot of people that live in places like Madison and some of the other cities, Green Bay, they have to end up ultimately connecting directly through Minneapolis, Chicago, sometimes through Denver.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine just booked, and he said it was cheaper to fly out of Eau Claire and then go to Chicago that way as opposed to going to Minneapolis. And I found that kind of strange
Minneapolis has been a little more expensive if traveling through there to the Caribbean over the last 18 months or so. Through Chicago has actually been a little bit cheaper. There's a little more competition going on out of Chicago. So, and you have Southwest flying out of Chicago to some destinations as well, going through Houston and connecting in the Caribbean. So that's dropped the price down a little bit.
All righty. Well, thanks for your information. Any direction of, like, just going through your site to...
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would, if I would go to our site, log on, and then sign up for alerts, and it'll send you a note whenever prices start to drop. I wouldn't wait any longer until about 1.5 months before your departure. So you still have about a couple-month window in order to sort of monitor prices and pick a good price. Typically, that time of year is the off-season. There's kids back in school. October is a perfect time to fly to the Caribbean. You're on the tail end of hurricane season. There's hurricane jitters still during that time frame. So prices tend to be a lot cheaper than they are when it gets a little colder.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Cindy. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Marlene in Clam Lake up next. Hi, Marlene. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. I'm heading to California at the end of October, looking to fly out of Minneapolis and to LAX or Burbank. And I've kind of been watching prices. I'm wondering, what can I expect for the best price out there?
And you said October, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so... out of Minneapolis to Los Angeles, depending on what day you leave, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays are going to be your cheapest days. You'll be able to fly, for example, on airlines like Spirit for $147, where American matches at $157 nonstop, for example. Sun Country also flies that route as well. It's usually in the high 190s to 200s during that time frame. So if you're flying on a Monday, Friday, or Sunday, you can probably add anywhere to 20 to 30% or so.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Lisa in East Troy. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I need to make a trip to Overbrook, Oklahoma, and I have no idea where that is or which airport to fly into. And my other question is, I really only need to be there for a day. So am I better off, like, taking a flight out early in the morning and bringing a red-eye home, or am I better off renting a hotel and coming home the next day?
Yeah, I'm from Dallas, and I'm pretty familiar with Oklahoma. I'm not sure I know where that is exactly either. I had to check the map out. But you're going to be flying either into Oklahoma City or Tulsa, likely, in order to get there. I'm not sure which one's closer to it. The difference between those two cities out of places like Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Chicago, usually that ticket price, and you'd think it's because it's so close, it'd be cheap, would be in the sort of $300 range, $320 range.
Okay.
In your particular case, you definitely want to buy, you said October, right?
I'm thinking September.
September, okay. So you need to be shopping right now for that ticket.
Okay.
As I said before, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays are going to be your cheapest. There's been a huge influx of sales where the actual fare that they're filing says only good on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So the other fares are at least $20 to up to $100 more in order to fly that particular route.
Mm. There we go.
Am I better off bringing a red eye home the same day?
It'll be tough for you to find the proper connecting flight to come home the same day. Same day tickets tend to be more expensive than coming back the next day. So I'd actually planned on spending the night.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Lisa, for calling. Christina in Glenwood City. It's your turn. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering about a trip to Leeuwarden in the Netherlands. It's Leeuwarden in January. I'd like to be there for sure on the 12th, 13th, and 14th, probably leaving Minneapolis. However, I would be open.
Yeah, so out of Minneapolis during that time frame, so you're a little bit early. It's a little bit earlier than the five-month window typically to shop. You're likely going to be flying into Amsterdam, which is a big hub city. It's one of the four or five huge hub cities there, including London, Paris, Rome, Frankfurt, and Amsterdam are very popular flights to fly out of. And because of the relationship between Delta and KLM out of Minneapolis, Delta is going to be the one that has the nonstop from Minneapolis to Amsterdam. Typically that time frame, you said you wanted to go in January, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, so the nonstop typically runs in the $1,000 range approximately. I've seen it as low as $950, $940 sometimes. And then you'll get connecting flights sometimes down at that same time frame. As long as you don't go the first week in January, I know you said you want to go on the second, it's a little more expensive that first week. Make sure you fly on a Monday through a Thursday. It's cheaper. It's called midweek pricing, and they have weekend pricing as well. So if you can fly on the dates Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for example, going and coming, or at least on one of those, you'll save some money as well.
All right.
Great. May I ask another question?
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm an inexperienced traveler, so I'm wondering, what are a person's rights if you get bumped? What can you expect?
Well, it depends. You have what's called voluntary bumping, when they actually ask and people actually volunteer to do that. Involuntary bumping, like they overbook the flight, for example, you can get back in cash. I think the new rates are somewhere between $1,300 and $1,400 for a domestic involuntary bumping. So you have to know your rights. We have a huge article on our website. You can check that out. And I've written about it on USA Today before as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Mona has a quick question for us here. Mona, hi.
Sure, yeah.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, my question is, I'm going to be flying to the UK. I want to go in September or October, and I'm looking at prices. They're looking pretty good right now. But I just put my passport in to get it renewed. And so when I go to buy my ticket, they want my passport number. And I don't know if I just put my old one on there, if that's going to screw things up, or if I have to wait till I get my passport back.
You know, I just had this happen to me on my trip to Italy. My daughter, actually, when I booked the tickets, she had a different passport number because she renewed her passport. And it caused some heartburn on electronic boarding passes.
Oh, hold on. You know what? Finish that story, Rick, right after we take a look at the news. Stay with us, everybody. Well, if you're planning to take a vacation soon or maybe even in the distant future, I hope you'll stay with us here. We're talking about air travel today with Rick Cini. Rick is the CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com. And if you know where you're going to be traveling and when, maybe you have questions about travel, call in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. I would certainly love to hear from you. And Rick, as we broke for news, Mona had called from Madison. She was wondering about her ticket. She is waiting for her new passport, and you were about to talk about your own experience in that regard.
Sure, yeah. A couple things that she needs to do. If she has her passport inside the airline's website, they have a section for their where you can put that inside your profile, and you book your ticket with that passport, then you need to go in and change that. You're not going to be able to get an electronic boarding pass. You'll have to do it at the kiosk, and if you have TSA PreCheck or Global Entry, you need to go into that portal and also change to your new passport number. Otherwise, you're going to get to the airport and all sorts of things bad are going to happen to you. So hopefully that helps, because I just went through that same situation.
There we go. Thanks, Mona, for calling. Mike in Sun Prairie, we turn to you next. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I'm thinking about a trip to Constanta, Romania in September, and I'm just wondering if there's a connection from Bucharest or if there's any direct flights.
I don't know right off the top of my head. Now, you can come to our site and check that out. We do have lots of different connections to those sites. It sounds like it's fairly close. Do you know how far it is? What the distance between Bucharest and that city is?
I do not.
Okay, I don't know off the top of my head, but what you should do in that particular case, and I'll tell you a little bit about the airlines that fly there. There's a couple of low-cost airlines. You can fly between those. So it depends on if you want to fly your ticket on a U.S.-based or one of their partner airlines or their alliance partners and take a low-cost airline into some of the smaller cities, or use the train system there, which is actually pretty good as well. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to do a little more research than I can on air. I will do this. If you send me a quick note to customer.service@faircompare.com, we'll make sure you have all the info you need there.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks so much for calling. Talk a little more about faircompare.com.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically we're a bunch of technology geeks. We get airfare data from over 550 airlines. We're processing literally billions of itineraries each hour, looking for deals, scouring for deals. I've been doing this for almost a little over a decade now, and I rarely get stumped, but small cities in Romania sometimes do stump me. But, you know, we're sending alerts out when prices drop. The entire focus of the company is to help people buy at the right time, pick the right flights, and be in that group of, you know, the bottom two groups that pay the fewest amount of price for their tickets.
You also have information on travel once you're there by car. I took advantage of something here recently and got a really good deal.
Yeah, we have some car rates on there. I also have columns on USA Today, ABC News, and periodically on Fox. So you can Fox News. So you can also catch me there, as well as a blog on our website there at faircompare.com.
Mary in Sheboygan has a question. Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm actually a very experienced traveler, and I'm working with a group of friends. There's about eight of us that want to go to Greece in the spring, and probably in May, late April, early May. We're going to go for about 2 weeks. And I'm wondering when I ought to be looking at airfares.
Sure. So in late April, early May, there's a price break in general that goes up around May the 12th. So if you can slide your trip in before May the 12th, that's when you want to take your trip if you can, because you'll see a jump of about 12% or so, especially into Athens, where you'll ultimately head.
That's where we're going.
Right. So as far as shopping, you want to start about five and a half months ahead of time. It's a little early for that right now. You know, I was looking. You also want to see what the difference in price between flying out of a hub city like Minneapolis or Chicago is. I don't know what city you live in, but if you live in a regional city, usually there's about a 15 to 20% surcharge for flying and connecting into Minneapolis or into Chicago added on to those particular tickets.
We probably fly out of Green Bay or Appleton or Milwaukee.
Yeah, so Milwaukee's going to be typically cheaper than Appleton and Green Bay. You're still going to connect in that. If you're out of Milwaukee, you can make your way to New York and connect there, maybe on a one stop. Otherwise, you're typically looking at a two stop or more for Athens.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. So get a flight to New York and do it that way, then. That makes sense.
Yeah, you can. You know, what I like to do in some cases is if those trips tend to be cheaper out of New York as well, you might split your ticket. If you have, like, a free ticket on Southwest or something, you make your way to New York. So there's ways to do that. But in general, that's a good pricing. She should find her ticket really for that particular trip somewhere around $1,050 to $1,100. That's the average the last year.
Doug in Baraboo has a question. Hi, Doug.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Hey, great show. I travel a lot for business, and I was comparing notes with a business colleague who found out that it's much less expensive to buy one-way tickets to all of your joints, even if you're just doing a round trip instead of a three-way. And I was wondering, he flies out of Boston. I fly out of Madison. Would I get advantageous pricing buying one-way tickets instead of round trips out of Madison?
Okay, so let me try to. There's about five questions packed in there. So a couple things for international tickets, they typically just don't file one-way fares, so you wouldn't do anything international that way, unless you were just trying to get to the coast, like the West Coast to go to Asia or the East Coast to go into Europe. So you can do that, for example, split your ticket price there. Now, as far as one-way tickets, we show them on the side, by the way. You can split ticket in certain cases. Typically, that's going to be, and he's lucky he's in a fairly large city like Boston, because you have a low-cost airline like JetBlue that's got more traffic there. You've got Southwest there as well. They tend to file one-way fares where you can see some of those changes that occur with one-ways. But out of Madison, you won't see a whole lot of one-way fares filed. They'll all be round trip fares, so you won't see that good pricing and splitting it up like your friend in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd want to do that out of a place like Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis. That's where you'll see that benefit.
a big international hub then.
Yeah, in essence, because what happens is those are just add-on fares when they go to, you know, Appleton and Green Bay and Madison, and they just don't file one-way fares that way.
Mm, there we go. There you go, Doug. Sorry. You'd have to go out of Milwaukee?
You'd have to teleport to one of those cities somehow. Yeah, but Milwaukee probably closest.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Kathy in West Bend, on to you now. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. There's two passengers looking to go to Tampa, Florida on January 5th to go on a cruise. So
yes.
Are we better off going out of Milwaukee or Chicago? The preference, because one of the people is disabled, the preference is to have a nonstop.
Yeah, so both Milwaukee and Chicago will have nonstops into Tampa. The difference in price historically, let me look this up real quick. Yeah, so the difference in price historically is that Chicago is about $100 cheaper than Milwaukee during that time frame. And you have, you know, for example, out of Chicago, you have a couple airlines that fly nonstop. You have American, United, Spirit Airlines also flies nonstop as well. And in Milwaukee, you have a little bit of a less choice. In fact, out of Milwaukee, there are actually no nonstops into Tampa. So your best bet's out of Chicago.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Anil in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello, hi. I had a couple of questions. First, it's been a long week. I'm getting married in 20 days, and I'm just kind of looking for a quick getaway with my fiance, flights under $600 anywhere, but for, you know, not Illinois, of course, or somewhere really close, even Michigan would do. And then, two, we have another trip scheduled at our honeymoon to Punta Cana on the 15th of August, right after the wedding. And I was trying to figure out what the status of the Zika virus thing is right now. Has it moved from South America to the Caribbean? Is that more of a concern? You can get my concern from the fact that I'll be recently married at that point in time.
Sure.
Third, I'd like to go to England sometime next year to watch the soccer game. And so it won't be a good time to actually travel to London for two, of course.
All right, so I'm gonna go backwards on those because I'm a huge EPL fan, English Premier League. So I've gone over a few times to see some games. You know, the time frame. The season's over now. They just had Champions League there, so you'll have to wait till next year. I would do it a little bit if you can earlier in the spring because the prices jump as we talked about earlier in early May, or you can do it a little bit later and catch some of the later games. Later in June, it has another break point. So before May 15th or so, and before June 15th or so is a perfect time to go. And you want to start shopping about 5 months ahead, leave on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Okay, so the next step back, I think you talked about Zika virus.
Yes.
I have never seen so much information about Zika virus. We have the Olympics coming up in a couple weeks. A lot of people worried about that. But essentially, the entire Caribbean, South America, I think there's one place in the Caribbean that's not on the State Department watch list. You should go directly to the State Department. Has great information. It's one of the websites that I know they update frequently on a daily basis at the State Department that has information on Zika. And you can check out all the different issues that are there. But definitely, it's basically covering the entire Caribbean at this point. And that's one of the reasons some of the prices to the Caribbean has dropped. There was a third question there, like, get me out of town. I didn't hear what town he was from.
He, nuts.
That's okay.
We lost him, but he was willing to go anywhere for just a short trip.
Yeah, so one of the things that happens is that most airlines have what's called 7-day fares and 14-day fares. So at 14, it's a lot cheaper in advance. And 7, if you have a low-cost airline, like a city like Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis has low-cost airlines. And if you want to get out of town, if you just want to get out of town this weekend or next weekend, one of your best bets there is actually looking at package deals because they pre-negotiate those fares well ahead of time. So instead of being charged like a business traveler, and I think he said had a budget of $600.
Yeah, somewhere.
Right now, if he leaves in the next 2 weeks or so, $600 should get him almost anywhere in the country.
Oh, there we go. Ann in Milwaukee, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, Hi, good afternoon. A couple of things. I just wanted to give a great plug for Fair Compare.
Thank you.
On June 23rd or 22nd, I started looking, well, I'd looked a little bit before, at plane fares for October to Paris. And I saw a flight on your site, I couldn't believe, $500 round trip Chicago to Paris in October. So I snagged it. So thank you very much.
Which airline? Was that United?
Yep, it was United.
Yeah, United actually.
Amazing.
Yeah, United filed a bunch of mistake fares a while back, and we sent out on that particular day, literally hundreds of thousands of alerts. So I'm glad you were one of the ones that picked up that particular deal.
And my other thing is, then on the 23rd of June, I want to talk about Global Entry. I applied for Global Entry. I got conditional approval on July 11th, and I had started calling for or looking for appointments. Nothing came up. And Monday, one came up for yesterday in Milwaukee. I snagged it, and I went there yesterday afternoon. They told me that they have no appointments till October, that people were flying in even from Maryland to come here, and that, like, San Francisco, forgetting Global Entry there, they are scheduled through January 2017.
Well, you know that's interesting, because we just had Congress pass the FAA reauthorization bill, which basically lets the FAA continue on. And one of the things that was in that bill said that they need to hire as many people as they can to service these pre-check and Global Entry requests.
Yeah, and the guy told me 7 months ago they were sitting around twiddling their thumbs.
Well, yeah, this is all because of what's happened this summer when they had those monster huge lines, especially in Chicago and a couple of other places. And it took some heads rolling, some of the department heads, and at least one of the heads at TSA were fired. And then magically, a month later, everything seems to have caught up. But they cannot catch up right now on pre-check and on Global Entry. And by the way, I think it's $100 for Global Entry, $85 for pre-check. If you're traveling internationally, don't do pre-check. Check, do Global Entry.
And that's what I did. But so this was just a caution that if you do try to get in, and thankfully I got this cancellation, or I would not have probably had my Global Entry by the time I left in early October.
Yeah,
one of my friends
here in Dallas couldn't get one and actually flew to Albuquerque to get an appointment. So.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, thanks, Ann, for those tips. Appreciate it very much. And we'll turn to Joe in Madison next. Hi, Joe.
Hello. I'm currently shopping for airfares from O'Hare to Casablanca the latter part of October, the 15th to November 4th. But my first question is, Mr. Sini seems to come up with answers so quickly on the air, and I'm wondering how he does that, and does he have some secret proprietary software that he can share with us? Or what does he recommend as the best website for shopping overseas?
Yeah, fair. Sure. I'd recommend ours among several of them that are out there. You have ones like Kayak, Google Flight Search. But essentially, I have a tool here that shows me history of all the routes. And so I'll type in the routes and look. And I also am very familiar with sort of all the different routes. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm looking at a variety of price points, typically historical data. We actually keep, we have data actually back for over a decade on many of these routes. And so a lot of these tips that I'm giving you are actually after crunching literally trillions of data points.
Okay. And is that tool available to the average?
Yeah, if you come to our website, actually, it has some of that information on a variety of those pages. You can check that out. So I'm always trying to get as much information to consumers as I can. If I actually publish a tool I'm looking at right now, nobody would understand what it says except for me. It's like reading the Matrix. I'm trying to get that out to people as quickly as I can. So we're always working on that. Literally, we're taking in, I think, somewhere close to 140 million searches a day that we're looking at for people across the world. And looking at all that particular data, we also get data from the Airline Ticket Stock Exchange. We're one of the 9 members on that exchange. So we have literally hundreds and hundreds of computers that are crunching this data and trying to get it down to something as simple as what day you should buy and what price you should pay.
Yeah. Now, in the last month, I've seen this airfare, O'Hare to Casablanca, come down from the mid 1100s to the high 800s. Do you think we're at a good purchase point at this point for an October 15th flight?
Yeah, if you see anything in the 800s, I would buy it right away. So in general, all transatlantic airfare, the average fuel surcharge has been in the 430 to 440 range. The average taxes and fees, and that's even more if you transit through London Heathrow, around $160 to $170. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a minimum of $600 to $650 before they start charging for airfare. If you see an $850 airfare transatlantic, that means they're charging $100 each way for the airfare.
Yeah, and that's for two stops.
Correct, yeah. And so to get to Casablanca, you're going to take at least two stops. There are actually probably some three stops that are slightly cheaper.
There you go. Good luck, Joe. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jody from Whitewater posted on Facebook to say their family of four would like to travel to upstate New York for a wedding in Essex. They only have time for a three-day trip, and they need to be there August 27th.
Oh, wow. So they're really at the last minute here. I'm going to take a quick look. Did they say what city they were from?
Whitewater, so they would probably go to Milwaukee, I would think.
Yeah, let's take a look. I'll say upstate New York. Let's just pick Syracuse as an example. At the end of August right now, I'm going to shoot on over here to August. It looks like the price point's in the high 300s right now.
Mm-hmm.
The cheapest days, again, are Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. They're more like 350, and the other days of the week are up around 380 or so. Airlines include the three major legacy airlines, United, American, and Delta, all with one stops around 4 hours to take the total duration of the flight. I don't see it dropping much. Because they're in that window. Did she say what day in August?
August 20th. They need to be there on August 27th for sure.
August 27th. So let me look at that specifically, because August 23rd, the prices do drop. Yeah, so they do drop into about the 330 range. So they don't drop a lot right now because she's so tied to her particular day. But I would go ahead and buy that ticket in the next couple weeks.
Sue from Madison called to say she's traveling to Gambia in February. Any advice there?
Well, let's see. I'm not sure I know where Gambia is, to be honest.
Gambia?
I'm gonna have to go look at a map. let's see. Here we go. I've gotten some weird ones before, but I've heard the name. I just
Gambia. G-A-M-B-I-A?
Yeah, it looks like it's in sub-Saharan Africa. Yeah, so in that particular case, a lot of that traffic actually flows through Amsterdam as a hub. Did she say what time frame she wanted to go?
In February.
In February, yeah. So she's a little bit early. She wants to start shopping in about a month and a half or two. She's going to be connecting either through Heathrow or through Amsterdam. Also, Frankfurt has some flights into Northern Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa. So that's her best bet, is to check those out. Again, midweek dates still apply for those. I'm not sure if there's any low-cost airlines that fly out of there. I'll have to do a little more research. If she'll send me a note at customer.service@faircompare.com, they know to forward those to me when you're on your show, and I'll answer her directly.
And just one more here. Kevin emailed to say he's looking to go to Key West around October 20th a little later, leaving from Madison, Milwaukee, or Chicago. Is this a good time to leave for a 4 to 5 day trip?
Yeah, October's a perfect time to go. You know, out of Milwaukee, I've seen prices. Let me take a look. You said October, right?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me quickly.
October 20th or a little later?
A little bit later, somewhere in that range. Okay, so yeah, so the price points October, there we go. Yeah, so it's averaging a little bit above 420. Oh, excuse me, it's around, yeah, so there's one flight right now in the high 400s, a little bit over 500. Key West is usually about $200 more than flying into Miami. You can take the drive if you want. I've taken that trip twice in the past 2 years. Love the particular destination, but the prices tend to range in that range. Even out of a place like Chicago, there's really not a big break into Key West because it's a small flight, actually short flight out. Again, it's still in the high 400s out of Chicago. So
you
can
either
pay $250 to $300 to go to Miami, take the drive, or $500 if you've got a family of four. The drive is better. If you're going by yourself, take the flight.
Thanks so much, Rick. Appreciate your call. and being with us today. Rick Seeney, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. And thanks for listening.